กับพรามรุ่งเพลงจะสี Too much technology Machines to save our lives。
All right, the Consumer Electronics Show is in full swing, and Steve Greenberg, author of Gadget Nation and host of YouTube's What the Heck Is This, joins us to share some of the highlights. Welcome in, Steve.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
You know, CES has always been a destination for me, and I last went in 2019 like probably everybody else, but it was always exciting, and this year's no exception. There's folding smartphones, self-charging speakers, portable projectors, gaming servers, door locks that could be locked with your iPhone, and you have a list of some of your favorites that you've discovered.
I thought it was, even though it was virtual and remote for some people and in-person for others, it was still a great show because it's really all about the innovation. It's not about the platform it's on. So, for example, it's going from, you know, something seeming kind of silly, but maybe not. There was a smart water bowl for cats. And you're thinking, why do you need a smart water bowl for cats? It's from the folks at Shure Pet Care, and it's called the Philaqua Connect. And it's able to monitor the cat's use of a water bowl. It can monitor up to 32 different cats, which, of course, begs the question, why do you have 32 cats? But that's another story.
That's another story.
But it measures how often, how much, and when they drink. And this is important information because I didn't realize this, but according to veterinarians, a change in drinking behavior is a serious health indicator for middle-aged and older cats. So when there's some kind of shift, something's going on, and you need to bring it to the vet. So that's what this does for you. All the information, of course, is sent to your smartphone, as with everything else. And it's very cool from the folks at Shure Pet Care. And again, if you have up to 32 cats, now if you have 33 cats, you've got a major problem.
Okay,
but at 32,
fair.
You're okay.
I think, you know, when you talk about smartphone and all this and having a smart home, it freaks people out just a little bit. It does. It just, you know, there's people that still, you know, don't really understand. And this is true, and I'm sure some of our listeners, too, that really don't get the whole light bulb thing. Like, there's LEDs, not just LED. There's soft white. There's cool white. There's a ton of different things. And just getting some of those basics down. But really, at this time in history, you're able to control your entire house from another place while you're walking in from your couch. I mean, it pretty much can, you know, serve you dinner and pour you a bottle of, or a glass of bourbon. I mean, it really is something else,
and,
right?
Yeah, and you don't have to be a billionaire to do any of this. I mean, some things are hot, pricey, but a lot of it's really affordable. And things that I liked at CES are things that maybe to some people wouldn't be that important, but lithium ion batteries, they're everywhere. Everything you have has a lithium ion battery. That's when you go to the airport, they say, do you have a lithium ion battery in your suitcase? Because they're potentially dangerous. They're like little tiny explosives that could go off. So one thing I saw at the show was something called nanotech organolite batteries. These are batteries that are not as dangerous as a lithium ion. So they showed it where you put a nail through a lithium ion, boom, you've got an explosion. You heat up a lithium ion battery, boom, you've got an explosion. The nanotech organolite batteries, nail through it, no problem, heat it up, it still works. So that kind of technology, which may not have the bells and whistles of a folding phone, it's actually going to make a big difference in our lives moving forward, and it'll sink into your life in a very hidden way. All of a sudden, you'll be using a different kind of battery than a lithium ion. That kind of innovation catches my eye as well.
What about for transportation? What have you seen out there? I saw a car that changes colors. It's like a chameleon. Like, you can go down the street, it's silver one minute.
I saw that too, a car that changes color, which I thought was very, very cool. Of course, the self-driving car is everywhere, and then accessories for the self-driving car. And a lot of that I'm hearing at the show is all dependent on 5G. As 5G becomes standard, because it needs that, able to transfer that much fast information back and forth to make it a safe ride. So that's like the next step. To get that 5G everywhere is to allow for self-driving cars everywhere. And even though it seems very, you know, Buck Rogers, it's going to be happening. You will be getting into a car that's self-driving in the not-too-distant future. So that was one of the things that was very cool. A lot of robots. We're going to see more and more robots and a lot of artificial intelligence. Something that's actually in Illinois, so I'll give you an Illinois product.
Mm-hmm.
Yummy Future, it's called. It's a kind of a one-armed wonder that is a replacement for a barista. It can make a bunch of drinks, serve a muffin, it just swings around. It's five times faster than a human. It's affordable. It's actually going up into a coffee house in Illinois in about 6 weeks. And I talked to the folks behind it. It's very, very cool. If you can go online, check it out. It's called Yummy Future. And it's very, really, really neat. So Starbucks may have a whole different look in the not-too-distant future.
Well, not only that, I was going to say, like, there might be just a local bakery that's, you know, independently owned by a family and
absolutely.
So forth. And they want to upgrade their game a little bit. They don't have to, you know, hire staff. I mean, minimum wage is going up. It's becoming a lot more difficult, obviously, in times like this where, you know, it's hard to even get employees to come in when they're not feeling well because of COVID and everything else that, you know, you've got some things automated. I don't want to replace people, of course, but that really does up the game for some small businesses. Yeah,
there's an employment crisis. It's not, I mean, from what I'm seeing, there are more jobs than there are people. So
11 million. 11 million jobs.
Robots filling, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So maybe some robots in there might actually take the pressure off of things on some levels. There was a bunch of stuff for like people who are into audio and photography and video. They had a bunch of these really cool storage hub systems. One I'm thinking of is from OWC, their MiniStack STX. Very cool. It's for people with Macs, PCs, Chromebooks. Uses Thunderbolt 4 technology. Very cool. A fun thing I saw was called the Cradle Block and Talk from a company called Pausio. And this is a charging station that you put your phone into, but when it's in the charging station, it blocks the personal assistant or any apps from hearing your voice. So we've heard all these reports about, your smart speakers and smartphones eavesdropping on you. Well, that can't happen with this. But if you want to still, let's say you want to say something to your device, mm-hmm. you can say Pausio stop, and it gives you a 30-second window where you can talk to your smartphone, still give you the weather or whatever you need from it, and then in 30 seconds that window closes, and again
wow.
your smartphone can't hear you. So it's from a company called Pausio, Pozio.com. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Another robot which was kind of neat was one called Skippy. I like his name, first of all. And he's from a company called Carbon Origins. And you got to see, it's a little tiny box with like wheels on it. And he is a food delivery robot. He's refrigerated or heated. So you can put in what you have to get, like from a restaurant or whatever. And then he's controlled with virtual reality goggles and with his own built-in artificial intelligence. And he's already working in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's going to be moving into Minneapolis in the next couple of months, and his name is Skippy, as I said, and he's very cute, and I'm waiting to trip over him on the street one day. I don't know how that's going to work out. He goes pretty darn fast, scooting around the blocks and whatnot. Seeing him do his thing is very, very cool.
So what I like about this is this does automate a bunch of jobs so that we can go take those folks and fill the 11 million jobs that are still open. Maybe that's how we have to look at this a little bit. What about the folding?
Yeah, no, I think that's how we do have to look at it.
Yeah. What about the folding smartphone? What is this all about?
Well, I mean, Samsung has it already,
yeah.
And I will be shocked if it, Apple and the rest don't fall far behind. But basically, it, like the old flip phone, but when you open it up, both surfaces are screens. So it opens up to a big 6-inch screen, and another one starts at 6-inch, opens up into a 12-inch screen. So it really gives you this big screen feel, but you can still stick it in your pocket because it folds in half, and it's because the actual screen itself is made of a material that is foldable. OLEDs, which are going to replace LEDs, are like cloth. I actually, about 3 years ago at CES, I went to an OLED fashion show where all the models walking up and down the runway were wearing cloth that was actually a TV screen. So you were watching television ads and whatnot on these really cool, everything from bikinis to evening gowns, but the material was all made from OLEDs, and it was amazing. So I think you're going to see that, first of all, coming into our own lives, but the first, it's very expensive, this stuff, but the first use of it really in home use is the folding phone that you just mentioned. And LG has a roll-up screen. So picture,
wow, that's cool.
A piece of furniture you'd have under your TV, but it actually, the screen rolls up, it retracts into that furniture, and when you want it, you push a button and it pulls out of it and takes up the wall and then goes back in. So it's, again, it's all about that, the fact that the screen is is foldable and bendable.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool.
We're going to see a lot of uses of that, too.
Love it. Steve Greenberg. For more on Steve, by the way, Gadget Nation, visit SteveGreenbergTV.com and all over social media. You're posting stuff all the time from CES, so go check him out.
Absolutely. And please have him check out my game show. I have a game show on YouTube called What the Heck Is That? It's GadgetGameShow.com. Check it out. I showcase products that you've never seen before. I have a panel trying to guess what it is. And it's sort of like the old What's My Line meets Shark Tank. So check out What the Heck Is That? On YouTube.
Will do. Thank you, Steve, for joining us. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Take care. All right. Lauren Majera is up next after the top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on 720 WGN.